Meet Reed Lance Rosenthal, rancher, number one best-selling award-winning author, and unabashedly, unapologetically, on the right side of the outstanding issues of our generation. But don't try to fence him in. Sometimes his positions will surprise you, because Reed is definitely his own man, with his own opinions. You might love him, you might hate him, but you won't be able to stop listening. Step over to the right side with Reed.
Happy Saturday, folks. It's Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio. And it is August, actually 18th. This is the day before Saturday the 19th. And that's because I'm the designated author up at the Central States Fair in Rapid City, South Dakota. So I will be signing books starting early tomorrow morning. And for most of this week, all you South Dakota fans, Northern Nebraska fans, Western Montana, Eastern Montana fans, come on down and say hi. And the publishers have their usual incredible deal going at these types of events. You know, Barnes & Noble sells thousands and thousands of these books all around. And they're 16, 17, 18, whatever, plus tax at the stores, plus Amazon, et cetera, et cetera. And at these events, they go for $10 a book. Wow. I mean, that is a rockin' deal. And great Christmas presents, too. I will sign that from you to whoever is getting the presents by me. Merry Christmas, happy birthday, whatever you'd like. Anyway, first time I've been up in this neck of the woods. A very pretty country. Quite impressed and surprised. And Rapid City seems like a great small city, should we say, or big little town. How's that? And was down at the Wyoming State Fair, and then back to the ranch, and then over to the Idaho State Fair, and it's just kind of crazy. Also been fighting rain and hay and all sorts of stuff. Hopefully that's getting sorted out. Maybe me leaving helped things. You know, sometimes that's the case. All right. Well, and I'll be posting some pics, by the way, of the haying sometime in the next couple days on the Facebook sites, Threads West, mine, and on the Right Side Radio. So enjoy them. I have not been on Facebook for about a week and a half with all the crazy stuff going on. Now, as to today's show. You know, I'm at a disadvantage in my shows, and thank you to the millions who have listened to me. But I only do it weekly. So I don't have the advantage of, let's say, a Rush Limbaugh or Sean Hannity or a Tucker Carlson or any of those guys, Mark Levin, all great, that do daily uptakes on all this news. I have to kind of condense it all into 1 hour and a half on a Saturday, with the exception of today, which is a Friday, and pre-recorded. And, you know, I don't get to cover everything I'd like to cover, although some of the stuff they cover is repetitive. And the other thing is, you know, I connect the dots, as you know. That's kind of what I'm known for. It's why many of you, if not most of you, listen to me. I separate the dots out. I separate the wheat from the chaff, give you the dots, and then connect them with my opinion. You're free to connect them as you will with your opinion, given the dots, and I back it all up with the articles, which is another difference between me and some of the other terrific talk show hosts. But it also places me at a disadvantage, because sometimes I have great ideas that nobody else has had, and then all of a sudden, like the day before I'm supposed to do the show, somebody, the light bulb blinks, and they come up with the same kind of idea, although perhaps different dots or different connections. And my big segment in this show, along with several others, which I'll describe to you quickly in just a second, is going to be the bigger picture on what happened in Charlotte. Because it's a much bigger picture. It's not about race. It's not about Confederate statues, which I'm going to talk about a little bit also. It's not about white supremacists or neo-Nazis. In fact, the neo-Nazis, the Nazi boys that were out there running around the streets, have lots in common with the Antifa and the alt-left, people talk about the neo-Nazis, I'm going to digress from my description of the show today for just a second. People talk about the neo-Nazis and the Nazis as being alt-right. This is the same people who call right-leaning folks fascists. They are wrong on both counts. They are wrong on their history. The Nazi Party was the National Socialist Democratic Party. I emphasize the word socialist. They are not alt-right, these folks. They are alt-left folks. They just happen to carry with them bigotry and other highly unsavory thought processes about Jews and blacks and who knows who, you know, white people who aren't from their state. I mean, you can't fathom their reasoning. But they are left-wing people, not right-wing people. Nazis are socialists. If you don't believe me, Google it up. The New Nazi Party for America. Google up Nazis, National Socialist Democratic Party. Google up what some of their organizers were talking about. One of whom, by the way, has been identified perhaps as an Obama supporter and plant to stir things up. A whole nother tangent. But if you Google this, you'll see I am absolutely correct. The alt-left, Black Lives Matter, Antifa, Occupy Wall Street, whatever you want to call them, is the same, other than certain types of bigotry, as the Nazis. They are left-wing people. Okay. Now, back to the description of the show. We're going to talk a little bit, if I have time, some more facts and figures on healthcare, because that's a continuing problem that, of course, the breathless media, focusing on Trump's words, which he's repeated 25 times, and then they still try and twist. They're not talking at all about health care, which I think kind of impacts us all rather dramatically. You know, life, death, money, the whole nine yards. I'm going to talk a little bit about the Republicans, et cetera. I have emails coming in. You can probably hear them in the background here. I have an article I'm going to be talking to you about where there's actually a leftist professor in the Washington Post, I mean, a major left-wing mouthpiece, and one of the quote-unquote most respected, and I use that term very loosely, daily publications in the United States, says that people need to resort to violence. I mean, he actually says people should go out and riot and throw rocks. I'm going to read you that article. It ties in to the major segment in this show, which is what's really behind all the crap in Charlottesville and elsewhere, and there's more crap coming. You can just rest your case on it, particularly if my hypothesis is right, and I believe it is. And we're going to talk a little bit, because I got several emails on it, on Imran Iwan. That is the Pakistani IT, I can't call him treasonous because he's not an American citizen, IT boy for Debbie Wasserman Schultz and the damage he has done. Not forget the criminal acts he's committed, the damage he has done to national security with the complicity of Hillary Clinton, whose lawyers are now representing him, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who kept him employed after the Congress found him stealing IT information from the Intelligence Committee, from the Oversight Committee, from about 35 different congressmen. I've gotten several emails on that wanting to know exactly what this guy has done. I thought I was clear, but I'm going to just give you bullet points today because it's a major story that I was the first to talk about back in February. Type in Debbie Wasserman Schultz or type in Imran Iwan or type in Pakistani IT. You can listen to those shows way ahead of the rest of the pack on this. And it ties right into all the stuff about Russia and what really happened with the DNRC hacks, which I talked about last week. If you haven't listened to that show, listen to it. Major left-wing IT specialists have absolutely concluded, four of them from around the country, independent, Democrats, have concluded that the DNRC was not hacked by a state actor, just as Julian Assange said in his interviews, but instead was leaked internally. In other words, hacked internally. And it ties into Seth Richards' murder, and it ties into this IT guy working for Schultz and all sorts of things. Listen to last week's show. And finally, if I get a chance, I'm going to come out swinging at some of these Republicans in the Senate and Congress, and a lot of the Republican, not all, a lot of the Republican politicians in general, because, you know, they remind me of cowering animals with their tails between their legs, running hither, yither, and yon, and waving their paws, saying, oh, I'm a nice guy, too. I hate this, too. I don't like these people either. And, you know, I don't know about Trump. And these people are pathetic. Pathetic. And, of course, they play right into the hands of the left in terms of the left's big picture with Charlottesville and other similar circumstances. So, without further ado, let me get cruising here. And I am broadcasting and or recording, however you'd like to look at it, from Rapid City, South Dakota, which I'm pretty impressed with. Pretty impressed with. And the Central States Fair, which I've never been invited to sign at before, seems quite fun. I was down there yesterday kind of setting up the signing station. And we're in the Soule building, by the way. S-O-U-L-E. So come visit. Now, first of all, the folks who have written me and said, tell us more about Imran Iwan, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, and what Imran Iwan did. So I'm going to just give you a bullet point, and then we're going to move on to other stuff. Listen to the shows that I did on him back in February. This is a really big deal, folks. You have not heard the end of this. So he and his two brothers, two of whom escaped to Pakistan, with complicity from the DNC and Debbie Wasserman Schultz, one wonders what they know, huh? Yeah, you bet. And that's probably the reason that Imran, baby, was kept in the employ of the DNC even after his frauds and theft of information was discovered 6 months earlier in February by Congress. Anyway, Imran Iwan was the last to try and leave the country. He was arrested by the FBI at Dulles International Airport, I believe last month, after transferring $283,000 to Faisalabad, Pakistan. You know, got his money out of the country. Okay, so he and his two brothers illegally accessed emails and sensitive documents from the House Committee on Intelligence and the Committee on Foreign Affairs. Excuse me, it is the Committee on Foreign Affairs. And transferred that along with who knows what records from 35 different Democratic congressmen off-site. In other words, to the cloud, where they could be distributed anywhere. I'll let you connect the dots on this. In the meantime, he received, and they received, over $4 million, close to $5 billion, in taxpayer-paid salaries since 2009. Next dot, they received $100,000 from an Iraqi politician. Gee, I wonder what was that. I bet you that was... Could it be that it was for some of that information that they stole from those committees and then transported to the cloud? And who else did they sell it to? And who else paid them maybe in accounts in Pakistan that we know nothing about? Wow. Anyway, so that is what they did. Debbie Wasserman Schultz knows that's what they did. They destroyed the computers and laptops on which they did it, which happened to be, as I understand the story, DNC, Democratic National Committee, supplied laptops. And those busted-up laptops, which the FBI, by the way, it's my understanding, is successful in penetrating and getting the stuff off of, were stored in Debbie Wasserman Schultz's garage. You know, you can't make this stuff up. So, hopefully that answers the questions of those who wrote me and said, tell us more about this Pakistani mess and the DNC. Now, second thing I'm going to talk about today is voter fraud. Now, I've done a bunch of shows on voter fraud. I've told you about the approximate 5.7 million illegal votes cast, which I originally I forecasted at 5 million to begin with. I've told you about the Election Integrity Committee Trump has formed, the states which are complying, the states which aren't complying, why. If you want to listen to my shows on voter fraud, which will actually curl your hair, make your eyes cross, and unfortunately inject grave doubt into your comfort with the sanctity of the American election system, just type in voter fraud in the search bar here and listen to those shows or those shows that you wish to. And I've posted several articles, by the way, under voter fraud, or I've had the producers post them on the site, which is ontherightsideradio.com. In the latest revelation, and there's revelations all over, number one, there's a student who registered like scores of people either ineligible to vote or dead in one of the eastern states. I don't have it right here in front of me since I'm on the road, but that article is down below under voter fraud. And Election Integrity Project California has now provided to the federal outfit that Trump set up a list of 11 California counties. Remember all the Democrats saying, well, Hillary won the popular vote, and I pointed out that Hillary won the popular vote because of 2.3 million votes in two California counties. Without those two counties out of the entire United States, she would not have won the popular vote. Well, now it comes to light that one of those counties, Los Angeles County, quote, I'll just quote this, the number of registered voters now stands at a number that is a whopping 144% of the total number of resident citizens of voting age. In other words, folks, if there were, I'll take a number in Los Angeles, 1 million registered voters, it appears that what the Democrats did, they registered voters over and above those 1 million duly registered of age American citizen voters. They registered another 500,000 voters, or 440,000 if you want to, you know, crack the nut and be exactly right on. I mean, it doesn't really matter, does it? Now, multiply that around the country. And yes, I'm going to go right back to what I said to begin with. When this is all said and done, Trump won the legal popular vote. And Trump likely won more electoral votes than even the 306 that he finally wound up with. 306 or 312. A whopping number. So, the Election Integrity Project in California that's uncovered this really massive, this is not small, this is massive voter fraud, has now joined with Judicial Watch. That's that great outfit I tell you to contribute to, and sometimes have their requests for contributions under politics, the politics section on the website. These are the guys who go to bat for us every single day, get documents such as the 413 or 430, whatever it is, pages of documents related to the tarmac meeting between Bill Clinton and our friend and steward of the law, Loretta Lynch, working for our friend and ultra-American Barack Obama. Those emails that Comey said under oath didn't exist, but did exist, without Judicial Watch, we wouldn't have that. We wouldn't have that information. So they do great stuff on many different levels. They've won all sorts of really major cases at the Supreme Court. They've uncovered stuff that the government, one agency or the other, or one person or the other has said never existed, and the Comey thing is just one example. They've now partnered with Election Integrity Project California, and they've sent a Section 8 Notice of Violation letter under the National Voter Registration Act, which is called NVRA, to the California Secretary of State, Alex Padilla. Now, you and I both know it's not going to go anywhere, but that's a step you have to take when you plan to take this full throttle, and they do. Anyway, you know, the left is doing their usual thing. This is false. This is incorrect. There is no voter fraud. You know, look at all these wonderful elections. We would never do that. Blah, 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 blah. In the meantime, of course, that same left is rioting in cities across the United States, universities across the United States, getting in violent confrontations in Charlottesville and others with their own ilk, the Nazis, also alt-left, not alt-right. Anyway, I'm sure we can believe them. You know, there's no voter fraud. I mean, there's nothing to see here. Move right along. Everything is hunky-dory. I don't think so. Now, I'm going to kind of get into this whole bigger picture deal when it comes to Charlottesville. And first, I'm going to read you a portion of an article that was amazingly actually published in the Washington Post this past week. And this is an op-ed by a guy by the name of N.B.D. Connolly, an associate professor, of course, at Johns Hopkins University. And in this article, he basically says, look, the left always gets what they want if they riot and break things and engage in violence. And therefore, since all this stuff is corrupt, and, you know, this country was founded by slaveholders, and blah, 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 we'll never get anything unless we take to the streets. We need to take to the streets, commit violence, throw rocks, the whole nine yards, and then everybody will cave. Yeah. Okay. I think the best thing that I can tell you is that this is meant to increase, not tamp down, the politics of division, which the Democrats have played beautifully for 40 years, and which Barack Obama brought to a state of art, and which Hillary Clinton tried to capitalize on, but she was so inept and crooked she could not. So let me read to you what Connolly writes, just in part. I'll let his words speak for himself as a spokesman for the alt-left. Quote, the white nationalist right in Charlottesville, a city that boasts diversity makes us stronger, made a lot of things clear. One of them is that generic solutions to the racial problem, bland affirmations of inclusiveness, tolerance, and free speech will no longer work. Indeed, they have never worked. Not on their own. In April 1968, amid a flurry of other rocks, riots shook American cities following the assassination of Martin Luther King Jr. It took that rolling unrest, not the promise of further economic growth, to spur President Lyndon Johnson and Congress to action. Within a week, they had passed the Fair Housing Act. Over the past century, liberalism, vexed by an ever-sharp, ever-cutting white supremacy, has kneaded these rocks. Segregationists have again assumed their pedestals in the Justice Department, the White House, and many other American temples. Paper alone won't drive them out. Start throwing rocks. Now, you know, I'm not going to give you any interpretation. You're all really bright people that listen to me. Even you folks on the left that listen to me because you hate me, you know, I think most of you are pretty bright. We disagree. We have a different foundation of beliefs. But I think those words are pretty clear. I'll let you draw your own conclusions. Which brings us full circle back to Confederate statutes, Charlottesville, etc. Look, in my opinion, Trump has been unequivocally clear in his condemnation of Nazis, white supremacists, KKK, David Duke, you name it. Not only that, his condemnation goes all the way back to when he was a much younger man and got it out of the Reform Party. There's an interview that you can Google up. Google up Donald Trump, Reform Party, David Duke. And I'm sure that interview will pop up. This is Trump 20 plus or minus years ago. basically saying he was getting out of the Reform Party because David Duke was getting into it, and he thought David Duke was disgusting, and what he stood for was disgusting. So this is not some Johnny-come-lately viewpoint of Trump's. It's been his viewpoint all along. And when he quite honestly said, hey, there was violence on both sides, folks, all you have to do is watch the videos. I mean, your eyes don't lie to you. The media does, but your eyes don't. There was violence on both sides. In this case, the violence was probably, who knows, precipitated by the, I'll call them white supremacists, the neo-Nazis, who are an alt-left group, and not by the Black Lives Matter Antifa, but it was joined in a nanosecond, because the other side of the alt-left, the side that says they're not bigoted, clashed immediately. I mean, there was no, like, ebb and flow. They came ready for battle. The white supremacists, alt-left people came ready for battle, and battle they did. It was compounded, of course, by the orders from the Democratic Council and Mayor of Charlottesville to the police to stand down, which is why that poor gal got killed. Now, she was killed by somebody who appears to be, let's wait for all the facts, one of the alt-left white supremacists. But the fact that she was killed, the fact that people were hurt and injured, the fact that that car deal ever happened is because alt-left people who run that city told the police to stand down. They did that for a reason, and that is because they wanted what happened to have happened. Let me explain further. I just read you this article. This is the mentality that is out there right now. This is the mentality of the Charlottesville mayor, and most, not all, of the city council. This is the mentality of the Berkeley mayor, of the Waterford mayor, of the Baltimore mayor. Their design, folks, is not about race. It's not about racism. It is not about equality. It is not about, is certainly not about the law. And it is certainly not about America. Quite the contrary. What these people want, and this guy kind of blew it wide open with his op-ed in WAPO, and WAPO being a left-wing mouthpiece, is fully, they were 99.9% exposed before, now they're 100% exposed. What responsible paper would publish a call to violence, particularly in volatile times? None. Zero. Nada. And that is me speaking as a trained journalist, folks. This is not the hayseed from Wyoming. I went to school for this stuff. So, you have all these people. They want these confrontations to happen. They will make it. They will set it up so that they do happen. They will make sure that they continue for as long as possible without really getting into peril themselves, so that the press, their allies, can be there to cover it and then spin it. I mean, you've been watching this happen. They then use that as a excuse to take down Confederate statues, which they say are symbols of racism and hatred and et cetera, et cetera. You know, right under the audio bar, I have a video of Tucker Carlson. And this is, I was talking earlier in the show about the fact that sometimes I wish I was doing the show daily, not weekly. Tucker Carlson has arrived at the same conclusion, this was, I believe, on Thursday, that I had already arrived at and which I had planned this show around. And that is, this is purposeful. And the purpose is not racism. It is not Confederate statues. It is not, is none of that stuff. It is none of this BS that we're being fed by the press and the alt-left mouthpieces. It is very simple. This is a dagger aimed at the heart of the Constitution. A dagger. Sharp, nasty, and meant to kill. Barack Obama talked, and I've mentioned this many times, about how the Constitution needed to be thrown out. Listen to his interview, his own words, 2001, PBS, Barack Obama, Constitution. Google it up. Listen for yourself. A Covenant of Negative Rights. Let me explain how all this fits together. And you should also listen to Tucker Carlson, who did an excellent job, number one, of explaining this theory. Number two, of beating Billy Crystal, who's just gone off the deep end over the head. Number three, watch it to the end, because he interviews another, yet another prominent mouthpiece for the alt-left, who slips up in the interview and confirms what I'm about to tell you. To get to the Constitution, folks, these people have to erase history, which they have been doing for 40 years. The left plays long ball. They got control of the education system 40 years ago, particularly higher education. They're now turning out left-wing thinking students who, until they grow older, are going to maintain that left-wing identity. And some of them will maintain it for their whole lives. And using this machine that they have very successfully put in process while the rest of us were asleep and while the excuses for Republicans were running around having their dinners in Washington, D.C., they are now bringing it to a head, using Trump as a context and racism and all this crapola, which they're spinning out of whole cloth, just like they spun the Russian hacking the DNC out of whole cloth. What these people are doing is they start with the Confederate statutes. Now, the Confederate statutes, whatever you may think of the Confederacy, whatever you may think of the statutes, being a historian writing historical fiction, which, by the way, I write as an antidote to this purposeful twisting, omission, distortion, and erasure of our history by the left. I'm hoping the Threads West series will be kind of an iconic statement on real American history through the eyes and viewed in the perspective of all these many, many people, the Utes, the Sioux, the Europeans, the Spanish, the Chinese, the blacks, how they viewed these historical events over five generations in the West, and I think throughout the country. If you can erase history, history is a touchstone. The touchstone of the past is history. And that touchstone, folks, is the guidepost to the future. The left knows this. If they can start by tearing down Confederate statues, even if you are a huge Union fan, hated the Confederacy, the whole nine yards, I will tell you as a historian that many of the, I'll call them great in the eyes of the South, Confederate heroes, Robert E. Lee, Stonewall Jackson, etc., etc., were West Point graduates, distinguished members of the United States military. Many of them, like Beauregard, were deeply torn as to whether they should stay with the Union or go with the South. And in the end, they went with the South because of their loyalty to home, but very importantly, because of their belief in the Constitution, i.e. the 10th Amendment states' rights. Not everybody was fighting on the South's side to maintain slavery. On a much broader context, the Civil War that the United States fought was the beginning of the end of slavery, other than ISIS enslaving women and that kind of stuff, which still goes on, and in Africa. That was the end of slavery around the world. America didn't invent slavery, folks. Slavery was going on for thousands of years. Barack Obama's ancestors were partly Arab, and they were slavers. A little fact he doesn't like to talk about, I think. The Indians here in North America, who were revered, were slavers. There was virtually no tribe that did not have slaves, captives, whatever, who were slaves. They traded slaves. They took slaves like on the March of Death. Those tribes took their slaves. On the Trail of Tears, those tribes took their slaves. So right here in North America, slavery was being practiced long before the first black man and woman were unfortunately transported here by white men to be slaves. And it was going on everywhere. Europe, Africa, where it still goes on. The North American Indians, the Arabs, go on and on and on. Slavery was a world condition. And it was a world condition going back to the times of the Romans and the Hebrews. That far back. Maybe before, but there's no really real recorded history. Certainly in the days of Genghis Khan and Attila the Hun. Everybody had slaves. Only America fought a civil war over slavery. And that civil war, folks, broke the back of slavery around the world, except in certain really remote locations. So, these Confederates, whose statues are now being taken down, they were on the wrong side of that question, unquestionably. But the battle that they forced, you know, slavery may, if the South had not succeeded, slavery may well have continued. Who knows? With impacts on planetary slavery. We don't know that. That's just surmise. What we do know is that removing these statues erases a part of our history, which, despite its black origin, and I don't mean that black as in black man, I'm talking about dark origin, despite its dark origin, was very beneficial for the world and for the elimination of slavery in all corners of the world. The left knows this too, folks. But they can't have America be right, because that interferes with their long-term plan. And their long-term plan, and they play long ball, is to start with these Confederate statutes and then go to, listen to that Tucker Carlson interview at the end of that video, and listen to his opening, and then go to the Washington Monument, the Jefferson Monument, both of which, by the way, were defaced over the last few days. Once again, another clue as to where they're really going. Because Washington and Jefferson, as the founders of the country, were also slaveholders. So, here we go. So, the next thing is, okay, the Washington and Jefferson memorials have to come down, and the Constitution was written by Washington and Jefferson and all these guys who had slaves, so therefore it's invalid. Do you see where all this is going? Do you see why they don't care about First Amendment rights, Second Amendment rights? Because they believe the Constitution needs to go. They don't believe in it. They don't feel bound by it. They understand that the huge majority of the country feels just the opposite. And this is the incremental three-dimensional chess game they are now playing to eventually get to and strike down or alter in horrible and unknown ways the Constitution, which is the basis of the greatest country on the planet and the longest surviving Constitution on the face of the planet. That is their end game. And to get there, they need this violence. Because it calls attention, it gives them a much bigger megaphone than they actually have. I have posted some polls that were done. So 60% of the country do not want these statues removed. They understand their historical significance, even if they don't agree with what these people represented by the statues were all about. At least on the road, and it's always kind of crazy. So, my point is that keep your eyes open as to what the real game plan is here. Don't be confused by the clutter. The press, whose approval rating is the lowest, I think, of any institution, is playing in lockstep with this. They believe that the Constitution is flawed, too. They believe the Constitution was written by imperfect people who have the blemish of slavery on their hands, and therefore everything they did was terrible, that America is a terrible and racist country, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The press is right in there with them. The press is, as Donald Trump said 6 months ago, an enemy of America. Not all the press, but a great majority of it, and certainly the left-leaning press. They are truly, folks, an enemy of you and I, an enemy of the Constitution, and an enemy of American values, and an enemy of this country. The press's job is to report the news. Our job is to understand the news and interpret it and form our opinions, whatever they may be. And the press, if it's going to offer an opinion, needs to label it as opinion. This is journalism 101. But they do not. They have forfeited their right, in my opinion, to have virtually any say or sway over the American public. It's one of the reasons that alternative news shows like mine have taken off like rocket ships. Okay. So that is what I wanted to, that is a concept I really, really, really wanted to get across to you today. This is really a war, and I've used this term before, for the soul of America. In addition, that poll, by the way, which said 60% of the population is opposed to taking down the statutes, also said that only 25% of the population wanted them removed. That means there's a bunch of people in between that, you know, really don't want to see them tampered with, don't know really kind of what side they're on, don't want them destroyed, but maybe they should go to a museum or whatever it happens to be. That's 75% of the population of the United States. This is a clear case of the tail wagging the dog. And the tail, the alt-left, knows it's the tail. And to wag the dog, they have to throw the rocks that they're being exhorted to do by Loretta Lynch. I had a show on this like 6 weeks ago. Okay, you know, Blood in the Streets, Loretta Lynch. Google it up. Just put Loretta Lynch in the search bar. You can see or hear her exact quote in that show. And now this boob, this treasonous boob, who should be arrested for inciting to riot, and WAPO should be slapped equally, writing about how people should be in the streets with violence and throwing rocks, that I just read to you in WAPO. What's the guy's name? You know, I'm not even going to give him, I'm not going to say his name. He doesn't deserve the credit. So understand and talk to your friends about this. This is really a big deal. Okay, Donald Trump has once again brought these people out of the closet. He has exposed the media and brought them out of their alt-left closet. He has exposed the alt-left for what they really are, which is anti-American, violence-pursuing twisters and distorters of truth and history. He's brought them out of the closet. In his own way, he brought the alt-left white supremacists out of the closet, not because he condoned them, but because when the left came out of the closet, it pissed them off, and they came out of the closet too, which, by the way, is exactly what the alt-left wants to happen. They want to create enough ruckus that this is going to piss off enough people so that they can have more ruckus. This is like a never-ending spiral of violence, death, property destruction, undermine American institutions and values with one target, one distant target, the Constitution. That is the target. I have said many times on this show that to succeed, the left must be successful in tearing down the three pillars of America: faith, family, and the Constitution. And you are seeing the play for Constitution right now. You have seen the attack on family with transgender and gay and the transgender military and transgender bathrooms, all that stuff. That's an attack on family. It is not about transgender rights. It is not about gay rights. Some of the people in the movement have been brainwashed to think it is. It is not. The people who are pulling the strings at the top, the puppeteers, the Clintons, the Obamas, the Soroses, the globalists, all those people, have a much different end. This is all glitter to attract their diminutive masses to create a ruckus to get their globalist anti-American ways. That is the facts, Jack. All right. The last thing I'm going to say on this show is that the Republicans, I get more and more disgusted with most of them every day. Instead of explaining what I just explained to people, and there's no way, most of these men and women are intelligent, instead of explaining that, what this really is all about, instead of casting blame on both shoulders where it belongs, while at the same time denouncing the alt-left white supremacists and explaining to their constituents that the Nazis are leftists, not rightists. I mean, this is like basic stuff. Of course, when you're erasing history by tearing down Stonewall Jackson, I guess the actual history of the Nazi Party and the proclamations of the neo-Nazis in the press that you can Google right now today that says socialism, I guess that doesn't matter, right? History is just a bad thing unless you twist it or erase it so that you can get your way in the end. I am tired of these Republicans being yellow dogs. I mean, there's no other way to describe them. Where are the investigations we need on the absolute crimes that are committed by a corrupt DNC and alt-left? Clinton and Rhodes and Rice and Obama, and where are they? Where are the Republicans coming out and explaining what I just explained to you, my very clever audience? Where are they in defending the Constitution? Where are they in defending American history so that they can eventually defend the Constitution? I mean, if you don't stop them on this beachhead, folks, it's going to be like Normandy and we're the losers. Once this beachhead has been established, Baltimore took down four statues two nights ago in the dead of night. By a vote of the city council? What is this? You know, Tucker Carlson in his interview at the end of that video slaps this guy around saying, well, since when is this not a democracy? Don't you listen to the majority? Listen to what the response is. They don't care what we think. I've been saying this forever. They don't care what we believe. They don't care what we think. They don't care about our American values, particularly in red states and flyover country, and I've done shows on that. They care only about their ideology, and they have an end game. And you know who can stop them? Only us. Only us. And no, not with rocks and not in the street. By making sure that people who believe as we do, Americans through and through, with a firmly held belief in the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, and who are not afraid to defend them, are the people that we elect. Not these rhinos like Flake and McCain and Murkowski, these sorry, pathetic excuses for quote-unquote conservatives. Conservatives, my butt. In some cases, as turncoats to the conservative cause, they are worse than the alt-left, who at least, now that they're out of the closet, thanks to Donald Trump, you can recognize, understand, and hopefully deal with. Well, that is Reed Lance Rosenthal. I actually got done early here. Maybe I should come to Rapid City and do my shows, and then I wouldn't drag on forever and ever and ever. Yeah, we're at 47:43 on this show. So you AM stations, I'm sure you can find some filler for the next 15 minutes you have. And you folks who are used to my hour-and-a-half podcasts, either you're going to be very sad because you're not going to have the last 30 minutes, or you're going to be really happy because you didn't have to listen to a full hour-and-a-half. I gave you the dots. You can connect them. You guys have a great week. Think about what I've said. This is a really big deal, folks. I mean, in the end, America as we know it is at play. The soul of this country is now under siege, and we are the ones manning the ramparts. Reed Lance Rosenthal in Rapid City, South Dakota, signing off on the Right Side Radio.
Please remember, if you've missed any shows, just click on Show Archive and you'll find all of his shows. We look forward to seeing you here again next week for another episode of Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side.